Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Walter, I can't keep up with the weather. Now it's snowing again.
You know, you're a very resourceful guy. I wake up this morning, yeah. I get out to drive here, and then you have three snowplows follow me the whole way.
Is that right?
Just to open the whole way. I'm like, okay, do I call Jimmy and tell him to set up a Zoom because I'm not going to make it?
Wow. Yeah, so you were behind them the whole time.
I was behind them the whole time. Right. It was painful.
All right. But yeah, you got here safe and sound. Yeah, it's snowing again here, and people are weighing in on the text line about the weather. It's raining some places, and we were worried that we were going to get a lot more, but it's so mild that, yeah. I mean, it's above zero, right? So the snow, and then it's wet snow, and then it's rain. So
it's definitely a cocktail out there. I had snow, I had rain, and I had ice palettes. So, in 1 hour.
Yeah, I had that on the length of the Dakari South this morning for about 6 minutes. It changed on me. Yeah. But that's the weather these days. We'll stay on top of it for you. And, of course, Road Reports with Jill Fitzgerald. You heard the first one there at 9 o'clock. It's a weekend format where we have them starting at 9 and every 15 minutes thereafter. How was your week?
My week was busy. As you know, it's right after the holidays. Mm-hmm. So you come back and you're smacked with a million things. Yeah. But it's good. It's good. I mean, I feel good. Productive week. I feel there is a shift in consumers' habits.
When it comes to renovations?
When it comes to renovations, I'm actually happy with it because people are planning ahead. Usually, in the old days, you'd have the season and then everybody calls at the same time. Yeah. So now we're getting a lot of calls for people wanting to start in the spring and or the summer. So planning ahead is great. It gives them the time to do proper design, proper choices, proper decisions as well. Nothing is rushed.
In a way this was one of the lessons learned from the pandemic when it was so hard to find people? And so people have learned, you got to plan ahead. You got to book ahead.
You hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. Now people, the pandemic, if anything it taught us is to plan many months ahead of time, whether it's materials or labor or anything like that. So people tend to have, homeowners, I think, kept those habits. And these are great habits to have because, I find the more time you have for planning and not making rash decisions, the better your outcome in the renovation is going
to
be.
All right. We're going to go to the phone here, and Walter, let you talk to Phil who's on the line. Phil, hello.
Hi.
In the car, drive safely while you talk to us.
Yep.
All right. You're on with Walter. What do you want to talk to him about a heat pump issue, I think.
Yes. Okay. Hi, Walter.
Hi.
So I had put in a heat pump last year. I had a 30-year-old air conditioner. I decided to change it, put in a heat pump. It's obviously a lot more efficient. But I find in the summer, the house never got quite as cold as it used to. And now in the winter, it's running all day. It doesn't heat up the same, obviously not the same as my gas furnace. But so I'm wondering, was it undersized?
How big is your home? How many bedrooms? Is it a bungalow? Is it a cottage?
It's a split level with four bedrooms.
Four bedrooms, split level. Okay. Do you know what the size that they gave you was?
The 3-ton makes sense. Is that a
3-ton? Yeah, I mean 3-ton is a size for sure.
Yes. Okay. And what does that convert to in the other way?
So the 3-ton. I mean, yes. If you want to have, if you wish, inadequate rule of thumb, but a general formula, it's a bit more complicated than that because other factors come into the calculations, including the layout of the home, including the height of the ceilings and everything else. But, I mean, if you want to take a general rule of thumb that is not very precise, but if you wish, it gives you a guideline, for every 1,000 square feet, you would need a ton. So if your home have 3,000 square feet for every room that you're heating, so it's a ton per 1,000 square foot. So if you have bigger home than 3,000 square feet, you are undersized. Now, that's one scenario. Not necessarily the scenario, this is what you have as an issue in your home.
Right.
You need to look at other potential things. The Do you have any when the heat pump stops? Do you hear any bang noises or loud noises? Do you feel there's noise in the ducts themselves?
No.
Okay, so that's a good indication. That means that the ducts have the adequate size to accommodate the pressure that's going through them.
Okay.
So in the summer, you're saying it's not, you don't feel it's getting cold, the house, and that's in all the rooms, right?
Well, upstairs, I'd say in the bedroom.
Okay, so what you probably have is a balancing issue more than a heat pump issue.
Okay.
Now, usually when you install your ducting, it's always good to have those levers where you can adjust the pressure to be distributed as equally as possible in different rooms.
Okay.
And I can give you like a small thing that you could do in the summer whenever you start your AC. Try to block the vents on the main floor. See what happens. Or few vents on the main floor and see what happens. What you're going to do is you're going to divert more pressure upstairs, okay, which tells you that you need more a balancing than a bigger heat pump.
Okay. In the basement, it's ice cold. So should I start my clothing in the basement, I guess? We don't even use the basement.
100%. The basement is naturally cold and humid. And don't forget, cold air goes down. So
right.
if you have the AC on the main floor, eventually it will find its way down to the basement and cool it. The only thing I'll ask you to do is ensure that you have a dehumidifier in the basement, because it's naturally a humid place. The AC tends to remove the humidity, but 90% of the time, people would shut the registers in the basement. In your case, you have a split. So even that makes it harder because you have more turns with the ducts. The higher area turn into a 90 degree, which will decrease the efficiency. So you need to help it as much as possible. Had you had a bungalow, for example, it would have been a lot easier because you don't have turns in the as many turns, if you wish, in the ducting, especially in the main duct. The more you're going to turn, the less efficiency you're going to have. So by shutting off the basement, also what you're going to do is on the main floor, if that is not sufficient, on the main floor, pick strategic vents that you close and see what happens. Now, if that's in the case where you don't have levers in your ducts, if you have levers, you can always play with them and see what's the sweet spot. I don't know if that's making any sense to you.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So if you have the levers, because the problem when you get a ventilation technician, levers is a funny thing. You have to do it, wait for it a couple of days, see what happens. Do it, wait for it a couple of days, see
trial
what happens.
And error.
Yeah, so you're better off doing it yourself than paying someone to come just, switch the dial for you a couple of times and tell you wait 2 days and call me back kind of a thing.
Right, right. Okay.
All right.
And in the winter, the fact that, I set it for 21 and it really never makes it to 21. It's 19 and a half. I have a smart thermostat, so I have complete control.
That also might be a balancing issue. I'm not saying that this is the only thing, but keep an eye on the heat pump in the summer to see if it freezes or anything that is not acting adequately. It's making a funny noise or something like that. How old is the heat pump, you said?
A year.
Okay, so it's still under warranty then. Yeah. You should call the technician and ask him to come back.
Okay.
Ask him to come back. Then there's something not right. Sometimes it's a question. And you said the second thing you heat with is oil, right? Like you have...
It's gas.
Gas, okay. Yeah. So is your furnace kicking a lot?
In the morning, because at night I bring a temperature down to 70. routine. I like it cool at night. So in the morning, the furnace usually kicks in, brings the temperature up, and then all day the heat pump runs.
Okay, so the gas kicks in the morning. And do you find that you're still spending a lot of money on gas?
No, I've saved, $1,000. When I looked at my last bill,
yeah,
it was $1,000 compared to the year, 12 months before. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Okay, so I mean that means that the heat pump is kicking in. Just get the technician to come back and just make sure that everything is working nicely. But okay. It could also be in the heat, the same issue, which is the balancing.
Philomena, we have to run. I hope that was some help from Walter for you.
Yes, that was very good. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Drive safely and say hi to your mom.
Thanks. Right.
Bye. Bye-bye. 916.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show. On CJAD 800.
And 922, Walter Assi from Inovco is here to answer your calls and questions, like Darren in LaSalle who called in. Hi, Darren.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning. Crawl space issue. What's going on?
Yeah. So, Ken, Walter, here's the deal. I recently purchased a semi in LaSalle. So you walk in the front door, you're standing on the foyer, and stairs right down to the basement. Over to the left, you walk up to the kitchen, living room, etc. Underneath the foyer, there's a crawl space. I learned that when I found the shutoff valve for my water, and it's uninsulated. So there's three joist bays, 16 inches each, that are uninsulated. And my instincts were, okay, Darren, insulate it, wrap some plastic to hold insulation, you're good to go. But I'm thinking, is that the right way to do this, Walter? Am I causing issues by doing that, such as condensation, for example?
So it's not like a cold room. It's not on the exterior part of the home. It's
no, really... it's not. It's on the inside part of the house. Like just on the, you have the face of the house, and just on the inside of that is where the foyer is, and underneath is the crawl space.
Got it. Now underneath there, what is the height of your crawl space right now?
The height of the crawl space is about 3.5 feet.
Okay. So and how about the walls? Are they insulated?
The walls, just the plate is insulated.
You mean the rim joist?
Yes.
Okay.
The rim joist, correct.
So, yeah, I mean, the rim joist is important to insulate. I don't know how it's insulated. Is it with fiberglass or urethane?
Fiberglass, pink fiberglass,
yeah.
That's right.
So that's not going to be a go for you. It's better than nothing, but it's not sufficient enough. What you want to do is at least the rim joist have them urethaned. Okay.
Okay.
Because I mean,
that's
once
a spray, Walter. Is that
that's a spray. That's correct. Because okay. What happens is when you do a fiberglass on rim joist is really the weakest spot where all the cold come in. And when you just do fiberglass, most people don't tend to put vapor barrier.
That's right.
So, you know, the air just comes through and it doesn't really work very efficiently, and that causes condensation on the insulation as well. So the fiberglass, mm-hmm. when it gets condensation, it loses the R value as soon as it gets wet. So mm-hmm. with time, it becomes useless. Okay. So what mm-hmm. I would do is I would urethane the rim joist. Okay. If you can urethane the whole area, that would be awesome. But you have to do 2x4s on the exterior wall and then urethane them. So that might be an issue for you working at 3.5 feet height. The other thing you could do, if you want to have something, fast and efficiently done under the circumstances, is you can get styrofoam boards and you can just glue them on the foundation, their tongue and groove, and they will mm-hmm. give you approximately, if you go with 2 inches, you get about an R12 factor. So, it's better than nothing. But the urethane will definitely be the ultimate in this case. It will not create your condensation. Actually, to the contrary, if you have if that area is heated, if you don't insulate it, what's going to happen is that the cold air from the outside is going to meet the hot air from the inside, and then you're going to have mm-hmm. condensation. So you really, you really want to insulate it to prevent that. And as well, it's, you're having all kind of heat loss that you don't need to you know, to pay for.
Correct. Okay, very good. Hey, Ken, if I can just add one quick comment. Hey, Walter, you replaced an icon in Montreal. And I want to say that you didn't try and copy him. You did it in your own style, and you transitioned seamlessly. So well done.
Very nice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Referring to Jan Eakes, of course. Thanks, Darren.
Correct.
Bye now. Yeah. Let's go to Roger's on the line and waiting patiently. Roger, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, just one question.
Yeah.
I have a large house, but the roof is kind of like it handles the rain well. This might be not for the season, but it handles the rain well when there's not too much. But when we have downpours, it overflows, especially on the inside corners. And I was wondering if you can put water seal on bricks. Is that a good idea?
No.
No?
But let me just take it one step at a time with you.
Okay.
You're not really potentially like zeroing in on the problem. You're saying you have a flat roof.
No, it's a rather large roof. It's on an angle. It's very steep, actually.
Okay.
And when it rains, we have like where two corners intersect, like an inside corner.
Yeah.
The water just overflows and it fills up the...
Got it. The gutters.
Yeah.
So maybe I could give you a simpler solution. Rather than sealing the bricks and creating other problems. When you have water, you want to try to channel the water more than waterproof the area where the water is touching. So your most successes are when the water is channeled out from the house as much as possible. So where you have your gutter system right now, you probably have, do you know the size of the gutter that you have right now?
It's a standard size. It's along the perimeter of my house, all along.
Standard size, meaning you have a 4 or 5 inch, probably more like 5 inch gutter. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can upgrade that to a 6 inch gutter. So now you're going a bit more commercial grade. What that will do is that will take in a lot more water, especially that you have a steep roof. I mean, the gutter guys should have done that calculation when they saw how steep the roof is.
Okay.
But you definitely would need to upgrade the size of your gutters. By doing so, you're gonna have a lot more efficiency in the cavity, and it's not going to overflow anymore.
Okay.
Okay. If you seal the bricks, you're creating other issues, because technically you're sealing the mortar as well, okay? And it's the same concept as painting a brick. I'm really, you know, I like materials to breathe. And, you know, it's a way to prevent buckling for the brick. It's a way to prevent ballooning, if you wish. You know, by sealing the actual brick, you're not really helping the situation at all.
Okay, and
because technically, just to kind of even take it a bit further, Roger, yeah. Technically, if the brick is built right, the water could come in through the mortar, but you have a flashing at the bottom that will, through the vent holes or the peeping holes, the chanteplaire, whatever you want to call them, the water should kind of escape out.
Oh.
Okay, because you do have a kind of a cavity. But
we don't have any weeping holes though at the bottom of the brick.
Well, you should have weeping holes. You know, a lot of people block them. I don't understand it, but you should have them. You know, it's the rule of thumb is every 3 bricks you should have a weeping hole to allow the humidity and the water potentially to escape from there.
Okay, well, it's an older house, so that could explain it.
I mean, you could do it yourself. Just be mindful of a couple of things. You need to have, you need to buy those grills that you plug them in, that you plug before when you do the openings, so you avoid insects and, you know, things from crawling back in, you know, into the cabin. But that's an adequate way to do it, and I would really strongly encourage you to do it, especially that you have this problem.
Okay.
Roger, how's that?
Well, pretty good. One more part. Do you recommend foam or the metal covers for the gutters? Because we have a lot of trees.
You know, I'm going to say this. I honestly don't like either.
Okay.
And the only reason I'm saying that is because if you do have a problem of ice buildup, it does not help that you have that extra, if you want those extra cavities in the gutter, that could take it in. So in certain studies, when it comes to guards, only on problematic roofs, mind you, it was not a great idea. But in general, if you don't have that problem, you could put them. In your case, you want as much flow as possible into the gutter, so I will try to avoid it if possible.
Roger, we have to run. Hope that was good for you.
That was great. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's head to the newsroom and come right back with Walter Assi from Monaco, 514-790-0800.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
If you want to spend some of the time on the show talking to Walter Assi, you can. He's here for the full hour. It's an hour full of free advice. Call now, 514-790-0800. Maybe have something like that's on your to-do list, right, for the for 2024, a project you've been putting off for a while.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This is the guy. This is the guy.
I'm right here.
He's right here. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. It's Ken and Walter. You're out in Pointe Claire, and you want to talk about rejuvenating asphalt shingles.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Well,
what's your question?
I heard about it, and I'm just wondering if it's a good idea or not.
Okay.
As you people rejuvenate their driveways with a covering, you can now rejuvenate your shingles, I heard.
That is correct. It is a good idea, depending on several factors. So if your shingles have started to curl up,
I agree.
Not a good idea anymore, because now they lost their shape. But if they are starting to kind of dry up, you know, they're starting to show age, but they have not deformed,
yep,
then you can definitely do what you call a roof rejuve, but providing you pick the right product, because some roofers will advise you to put a sealer, which will work to a certain extent, but there are other products. One of them is called Roof Rejuve. That's the name of the product.
Roof Rejuve.
I mean, it's self-explanatory. Really. it's engineered to rejuvenate and strengthen the asphalt shingles. Now, what's interesting with this, it contains 90% agricultural-based oils combined with polymer, which will add flexibility, not just a seal to the shingle.
Yep.
Okay, because you want the shingle to kind of go soft again, if you wish.
That's
and
right.
Less dry. So yeah. A sealer would kind of seal it in place, whereas that product kind of make it more malleable.
Moist. Yeah.
That's exactly it. And that now, tends to go ahead.
What I was saying, there's a company out there called GreenerShingles.ca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you apply this, they give a warranty, 5 years. So a senior trying to sell his house could rejuvenate his asphalt shingles and offer a guarantee to his roof,
mm-hmm,
when selling a house. It's an added value.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually if you do a successful roof rejuve, depending on the weather you're in the city, but usually the rule of thumb is 5 to 10 years. And
that's
again,
right,
depending on the condition of the shingles.
100%.
If the shingles have delaminated or the shape is not what it
dried
used
out
to be, then yeah, don't even bother. It's going to be a waste of money.
Right.
Okay. That's number one. Number two, the cost becomes as well a factor. Meaning, if you have underlying issues below the shingles.
Yeah.
So a lot of the common mistakes that you know we see roofers do is they don't put eye shield membrane enough in areas where you know you have low slope roofs and what have you. Well,
yeah,
that doesn't correct it.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of calculate if your roof have no problems.
Yep.
And you know you don't have any issues with ice backup coming into your home or anything like that.
Right.
Then that's a great idea for sure. It's
well, no,
5 to 10 years, the rule of thumb, depending on where you live and the weather,
yep,
and everything else.
That's good. From what I was told, it was I had my roof done, and it was about $1.05, $1.10 a square foot, and within I guess 1 hour to do the job.
So it's about 30% of the price of replacing a roof.
Yep.
It's okay. And it's faster as well.
There you go, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank we have about 4 minutes. We're going to bring in Ralph and Laval. Ralph, how are you?
Hi, Ken and Walter. How are you guys?
Very good.
Good.
Not
I
enough.
Have a simple question.
Yeah.
It's a few years. I live in Laval. I have a split level, and my shower upstairs. I've tried a few times. I've unscrewed the shower nozzle that I got when I purchased the home. And the water pressure, I replaced it with the modern ones where, you know, modern heads. And I still don't get the right amount of pressure as when I take a shower in my basement. I was just wondering, could it be the pipe that the plumber originally put? Not the wiring, sorry. I'm meaning the pipes.
Yeah. Highly unlikely. It could be debris in the feed pipe itself.
This is a little while back, Walter. Like, the house now is about 30-odd years. Mm. At the beginning, I tried all of those things, you know, but I never cleaned any pipes, though.
Yeah. So sometimes, it's, like I said, sometimes it's just debris in the feed pipes. So that could be one issue.
Did you say city pipe?
No, the feed pipes. The your hot water or your cold water. Like the,
okay.
the supply pipes, okay? It could be debris in that. It could be a problem with the mixer itself. Did you check the shower head to see if it's blocked in any way? Or it could be a low-flow shower head.
So that's what I want. No. But I removed the original one that they put in.
Yeah.
I removed it. I went to Rona. I bought a new one. I replaced it. But still, I'm not getting the same type of water pressure as I do when I take a shower in my basement shower.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. You have two bathrooms in your apartment.
One is upstairs and one is downstairs.
Okay.
It's a split level, okay. You know.
So how about the pressure in the kitchen sink, for example?
In the kitchen sink?
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy with it, and like I had to change a few times the
cartridge,
the sink pipe, the sink. What do you call it? Heads.
The faucet heads.
Yeah, the faucet heads. You know, because they broke down. You know.
Okay, but the pressure in the sink
is
adequate.
And also, mentioning that, you know, when I, let's say, if somebody wants to take a bath, I don't use the shower, and I turn on the faucets to take a bath, the water's coming, has a lot of pressure.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio. CJAD 800.
951-514-790-0800 is Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovico. Walter, we're just going to wrap up with Ralph, who's got that water water pressure issue out in Laval.
Ralph, yeah. I'm just going to go over a checklist with you and tell you what possibly could be the issues when you have... it's very hard to do it over the phone. But you're going to have to go with trial and error, or just go through a checklist, right? The most common usually are blocked shower heads. You have the limescale buildup. Most shower heads have like a filter to prevent all these minerals from coming through. So when you do have a buildup like that, it will cause you lower pressure. Now, that's easy. You unscrew the shower head. And usually, like, if you have a lot of hardness in the water or clinker or anything like that, that could be a problem in your area. You just dump it into a CLR, you clean it, you put it back on, and you should be good to go. If that's not the issue, then it's either a blockage, a sediment blockage in the pipe, like I told you.
Okay.
You know, it's a, or malfunctioning of the pressure regulator, really.
Okay. You know, is there, if I have the right amount of pressure downstairs, could there be a cause for the pressure for the water coming out upstairs?
Yes, it could be from the mixer itself. It could be from the mixer itself, or if the blockage in the supply pipes, the sediments in the supply pipes is in that area, that would cause a localized problem.
Okay, so should I call a plumber to really help me?
You call a plumber, try to clean the shower head for me. Just, you have to...
Well, like I mentioned to you, Walter, I took out the shower head and the original one they put in, which is similar to my one downstairs.
Yeah.
And I replaced it with a brand new one, and still the water is not coming out.
Okay. So then that you can eliminate that as an issue. We're going to eliminate the other issue, the other potential problem, which could be from the water supply itself, because you don't have that problem in other areas of the house. So the good news for you in all this, it's not the entry pipe that is too small or anything like that. That's awesome news for you because it will have cost you a fortune to replace. So these two can be eliminated. So now you want to focus on the blockage of some type of sediment in the supply pipes or on the pressure regulator itself. That's really where, you know, where the problem could lie.
That's a plan.
Yeah. Okay, now, obviously, these two things might, if you're not very plumbing savvy, you're probably going to need a plumber to figure it out for you.
Yeah. Oh, okay, then. All right. Okay. I'll try it again, you know?
Sure.
Okay, then. Thank you, guys.
Let us know.
Nice talking to you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ralph. 955. From the text line at 514-800, I think this is left over from last week, if I'm not mistaken. We didn't have a chance to get to it. It says, hi, Walter. I just had a new propane furnace installed in my house. It sounds like a jet engine. Is in my basement when it comes on. Is this normal, or whether an electric furnace would be any quieter?
Electric furnace is quieter. A jet engine, new furnace, big noise, no. So it could be a problem with the fan. Okay, it could be a problem with the fan. If it's brand new, it's still under warranty. It's the big noise issue with new furnaces should not be there, to be quite frank with you. That's why I also say in most cases I like variable speed furnaces, because they don't go with like one shot full power when they need to supply. They do it gradually when needed. But still, even with that, you're not supposed to have big noises like that. If you were within the 1 year installation warranty, I would definitely call the technician and have him check it out.
Just to wrap up, we were talking to friends about, it was a kind of a silly conversation, but there's some truth in it, about how the laundry room, the washer and dryer over the years has moved up in the household. Back in the old days, it used to be in the basement. Uh-huh. And then a lot of people, and we still have our washer and dryer on the main floor, but a lot of people, I think in some of the newer homes, they have them upstairs now. Why are you going all the way downstairs to the basement?
That's right. Even to the main floor, actually, it doesn't make sense to have it in the main floor because, you know, most of your laundry comes from the second floor.
Yeah. Do they still have those chutes where, you know, in the closet where you throw the...
They do, but I mean, going down the stairs is not really the issue. It's going up. So if that chute goes the other way, it's even better. That's really where people break their backs holding that basket up the stairs. The most important, though, is to have proper drainage in the laundry room when you do that, because if you have a flood water backup or something that happens or occurs, you need it to be drained away. That's pretty much the only thing that you need to think about when you're doing it on the second floor. But it's really the most efficient. And you're right, not only in the placement, but also in the design of the laundry room. Like, right. Now we're taking it up a couple of notches as well.
All right. It's Walter Assey from Renovco. Any closing statements here on the floor?
It was a pleasure to see you in person.
Absolutely. You as well. Another great hour. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, you too.
You got the good wipers going today?
I do.
All right.
I do.
Very good. Walter Assey from Renovco. He'll be back to host the Home Improvement Show and answer all your questions next Saturday morning as of 9 o'clock. Lisa Christensen is wandering out and about and ready to come in here with the car show here. Right after another update from the newsroom, Stormwatch continues as we keep an eye on the weather and the roads. Thank you and have a safe day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. Jimmy, thank you. Back on the air as of 6 tomorrow.